Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good morning, good afternoon, good evening to my beautiful planet Earth. I want to welcome you to It's All About You, the radio program that is celebrating life, prosperity, and unlimited potential. And I'm your host, I'm Darian Marshall, and as always, I'm very excited and happy about it being Monday, because on Monday I get the chance to do my show, I learn something, I meet new people, and I get the opportunity to share all of that knowledge and meeting of new people with you. And today is no different. I have a wonderful guest. Her name is Kira Asatrian, and she is author of the book, Stop Being Lonely, Three Simple Steps to Developing Close Friendships and Deep Relationships. And I'm just going to welcome her to the show and get a little party started. Welcome to the show, Kira. How are you?
Hi. Thank you so much for having me. I'm doing great.
And thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to be with us today. Congratulations on the book. The book is beautiful. It really is.
Thank you so much. I'm glad you like it.
Yeah, because when I got the email from your publicist about you coming on, I was really excited because even though I call myself a life coach and I teach a lot of principles similar to what you teach, I do go through this a lot. Those feelings of being lonely and stuff. And I must have 1,000,005 people in my life. But there are those moments where I feel like nobody loves me. I feel all by myself. And then certain days, I feel like the whole world loves me. I sort of go back and forth. So I was really excited to have you on.
Nice. Yeah, I think a lot of people experience that.
Why do you think loneliness is such a problem for everyone these days? I hear a lot about
it. Yeah. Yeah, it's a big question without a super simple answer. Mm-hmm. But one of the big factors for sure is just that our society has changed a lot in the last couple decades. How we live, who we live with has changed a lot, who we work with. Mm-hmm. But a lot of what I talk about in the book is that we sort of have fundamentally gotten something wrong about loneliness, in that we think that people are only lonely when they have nobody in their life.
Mm-hmm.
And I talk a lot about why that's not necessarily the case. And you can have the subjective experience of feeling lonely while you are objectively with other people.
Mm. Yeah, because most of the people that I've talked to, and they've mentioned how lonely they feel sometimes. They got people all over the place, and sometimes I never could understand that. How do you have all these people in your life, yet you're lonely? Well, why is that?
Yeah, I know, that was my question, too. That was kind of the impetus for the book, was how can that happen, and why does it happen?
Mm-hmm.
And the solution that I kind of came up with was that when we're feeling lonely, it's really an internal loneliness, meaning that we feel distant from other people in the sense that we feel like they don't understand us and they don't care about us.
Mm-hmm.
So trying to solve that kind of problem with just, you know, physical proximity to other people or adding people on social networks and stuff like that really doesn't address the underlying problem, which is that we don't feel like they get us on the inside.
You say that the answer to loneliness is more closeness. Exactly what do you mean by that?
Yeah, so my definition of closeness is direct access to another person's inner world.
Mm.
So what I mean by that is, and it goes both ways, it's, you know, you would feel closer to them and they would feel closer to you. But what it means is that you would understand more about the other person's needs, their values, what motivates them, what they care about. And then you would essentially, you know, value that and express interest in it and want to know more.
Now, do you make a distinction between a love and closeness? Is there a difference or is it the same? I get a little confused with that.
Yeah, so in my opinion, they are different. And I thought a lot about this, you know, when I, what did I want to call this thing that that is the antidote to loneliness? And I thought about, is it love? And I decided it wasn't, because I feel like love has a certain kind of mysterious aspect to it. Because, you know, expectant parents can can say with certainty that they love their children before they're born. And we can love people after they die, and we can love people across great distances. And to me, closeness is a different thing. It's not really, it needs to actually be maintained through actions to have the feeling of it.
So, you know, it's funny you say that, because the closest, I was going to ask, why is closeness so important in relationships? It sounds like a simple question, but the way you're explaining closeness, it's a little, you know, it's a little more to it, I feel.
Yeah, it is. I mean, a lot of people for sure search for love when they're feeling lonely and feel like love would solve a lot of their problems. And to be fair, the people that we are closest to in our lives are often spouses or romantic partners. So there's certainly some overlap. But to me, closeness matters because it can apply to any type of relationship. You can do the actions that create this feeling of closeness with family members, with friends, even with people at work. So that's actually another reason that there was another word that I was thinking about, which was intimacy. Is this intimacy? I decided not to use that word because to me that's a word that very much implies romantic relationship.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you know, being intimate with someone at work is a little weird. So I wanted a slightly more neutral concept.
See, you know what you're doing. Because when I hear intimate, I think something else totally different.
Yeah, I do too.
Now, this closeness, can it actually be learned, or are you born with it, or how does that work?
Yeah, that's a great question. A lot of people who sort of struggle with loneliness, and I should say I totally am one of them. It's something that I have felt for most of my life and is why I became interested in this. A lot of people who struggle with loneliness feel like people who are not lonely are just naturally more social or like inherently better at relationships or something. And that's completely untrue. There are lots of studies that say that that is untrue. And the things that I say create this feeling of closeness are things that once you know what to do, you can just start doing them. So okay. the two big categories are what I call knowing and caring.
Very
yep.
good. If you're just tuning in, I'm having a conversation with Kira Asatrian, and she's the author of the book Stop Being Lonely. In fact, Kira, can you give me your website? Because while you're listening, you can minimize us and go check out the website while you're listening. Don't turn us off. Just go to the website.
Sure. The website is stopbeinglonely.com. One word. It's very simple.
Great. Stopbeinglonely.com. Perfect. And we'll say it a couple more times throughout the show. That'd be great. So what should someone start doing right now to feel less lonely? Is there somewhere we can start?
Yeah, so typically there's kind of two places that people start from. They're either in the category of people who have relationships and see people on a day-to-day basis but don't feel this feeling of closeness. And then there's the other category of people who really don't have anybody. For the first category, I would say the very first thing to do is figure out which relationships you would like to be closer. And there are many ways to go about doing that, but just use your intuition, first of all, and think, like, who amongst the people that I know would I like to know more about and just be more be more close to them? And then for the second category, the second category is a lot more complicated, because then it's about meeting people, and that's kind of a whole other conversation, but I do address it in the book. What do you do if you really have nobody?
Very good. I'm jotting something down here. I tell you, when I do this show, it's like being in class. It's awesome.
I know. You have a fun job, don't you?
Yeah, it's really cool. I love it. You think you know all this stuff, but the more you learn, the more you realize you don't know. It's strange. It really is. So that was, were those the first two steps?
Well, the for the, if you're in the first category, it's identify whom in your life you would like to be closer to. And then in the second one, it's about meeting people.
Mm-hmm.
And meeting people is challenging. The first thing to kind of do when you want to meet new people is, I always recommend, you know, go places if you can where there are kind of like, there are people that you imagine might have similarities to you. So like interest-based groups are good. But I say go meet people on purpose, as opposed to, you know, staying online, which a lot of people are doing these days because it's a lot easier and it feels safer in some ways. But it opens a whole other can of worms.
What would you say, I know we're sort of talking about that here, what would you say to people who they sort of blame themselves for feeling lonely, and then we have well-meaning friends, I guess, who say, you know, well, you need to just get out there and get into life. It's not that easy all the time, is it?
It's not. The blaming yourself is something that I experienced a lot of because, you know, not to say lonely people are always shy or always introverted or always socially anxious, but there is some overlap with loneliness and those, like, co-occurring experiences, I would say, and personality traits. So I was in the category of being very shy, and I was like, if I was just not so shy, I wouldn't be lonely. But the more that I've researched this and spoken to people about it, extroverted people get lonely too, and you can have that experience of, you know, being the life of the party and then walking away from it feeling like nobody knows anything about you.
There's a friend of mine here in Philadelphia. She's a singer, and she wrote a song called Life of the Party. And it, you know, it's the, all through the song, this person who comes to the party, I mean, he's just like almost like a clown. People cheer when he comes to the door. It's sad to say at the end of the song, he kills himself, but you wouldn't know he was having these problems because, like you said, at the party, he's just the life. People wait for him to get there, but no one knew how lonely he was.
It's a real phenomenon. There's also the phenomenon of, you know, a lot of comedians are very depressed. Like, there is a dichotomy between being, you know, very extroverted and yet feeling very isolated internally.
I said it was like that with, I think, Robin Williams.
Right, yeah, and a number of comedians have either committed suicide or, you know, through drug use made it happen.
I didn't even think that, to see them, because I would envy, you know, these people, like Jim Carrey, all of them. I said, wow, they're laughing, people always screaming when they're around them because they're so funny. And who would think that they would go home and feel like that and just be alone like that?
It's fascinating stuff.
It really is. Is there a connection between relationships, technology, and feeling lonely? Is technology mixed up in there somewhere?
Yeah, it definitely is. I used to say that it was mostly for a certain age group that was really feeling the effect of technology. I don't say that anymore because everybody of every age group says, no, we have to deal with our phones and social networks as well. Technology has been probably the biggest change in the last decade in terms of how people interact with one another. It's the way that it gets in the way of close relationships is that it's very easy to just let relationships kind of linger through a device and just completely interact through a device. And you actually can't really get to know somebody and express genuine support and empathy through technology, unfortunately.
Yeah. Because I know years ago, I love the phone and I really love letter writing. And, you know, now I get a lot of emails, and even though they're nice and it's nice to hear from people, it's something about receiving a letter in the mail. and a card with a little stamp. I don't know. It just feels like so much more went into it.
Mm-hmm.
And even when I send stuff out, the email is easier and quicker, but I miss the days when I would go to a Hallmark store and kind of pick out a card and pick out the little little sticker to put on them. I could be like a big girl sometime when I send letters out. But it was all part of the fun and letting the person know. Yeah.
I like letter writing, too. I know. the other thing is that communication that's based over text is not going anywhere. Email's not going anywhere. Text isn't going anywhere. But the thing about communication that's only over text, for example, is that you've removed all of these other layers of communication that help people really understand what's going on with the other person.
Yes.
So it's just very hard to understand over purely a text format.
Then most people who know me, they know I love the idea of friends sitting around drinking tea or coffee or a fireplace or something.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I used to get a lot of stuff like that, little picture of teacups and friendships and all of that. And it meant so much to me just to sit there and look at that picture, because I knew they took the time to pick this out just for me, you know. And
yeah.
It's kind of lost in the emails or the text, you know.
It kind of is, yeah. Yeah, the thoughtfulness behind sending a picture or a letter in the mail is quite sweet and can definitely, you know, help mm-hmm. relationships grow, for sure.
Definitely. Because, I mean, I hear people now just say, like, instead of I'll call you later, or yeah, here's my number, give me a call, it's like, text me. You know, people say that now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'll text you.
Oh, yeah. There was a study that I just read about that I love and hate at the same time, which is, I forget the exact percentage, but how many teenagers break up with their boyfriends or girlfriends over text.
Wow.
And it's like a ridiculous number. It's like the vast majority do it. And I asked she's technically my sister-in-law, but she's 15 years old. I asked her, why would kids do that? And she said, well, we talk about everything else over text. So it would be super weird to, like, call somebody just to break up with them. And I was like, well, I guess that's fair.
That is so odd.
Isn't it odd? I know. That's what the world is now for the young people.
Man, I think I would just die if someone broke up with me through a text.
Oh, it's happening.
Yeah, it's amazing. My goodness. Now, you say that closeness can also help us in our businesses. Now, how
mm-hmm.
does that work? Because we're thinking more like relationships, like boyfriend, girlfriend, that type of thing. But how would businesses work or benefit from that?
Yeah, that's an interesting aspect of this. So when I first started writing it, I talked a lot about how to essentially make friends at
mm-hmm.
work, or how to turn coworkers into friends.
Mm.
But then as I was researching it more, it became pretty obvious to me that this idea of closeness would actually make teams at work more productive. Like, it would make them work better together. And there's kind of this old idea that, like, work and pleasure don't mix and don't get too close to people at work. But the opposite is becoming more apparently true. Like, there was a study that was published in Harvard Business Review that essentially said the amount that members of a team talk to each other about their personal lives, the better they work as a team.
Mm-hmm.
Which is pretty interesting stuff if you think about it.
Yeah. I'm giving you these little gaps in the conversation because my mind is going. You know, sometimes you wonder. There's a part of me that believes everything happens when it's supposed to, divine timing
mm-hmm.
and things like that. But I tell you, there are times when I would say, like right now, like, why didn't I have this book like 5 years ago when such and such went on? Or when this happened and that happened, but I guess you can't live like that. It's here now. Thank you for making this book.
Of course. I also just, that reminded me that, you know, I really wrote it for myself like 10 years ago. That's the person that I had in mind when I was writing it.
Oh.
Yeah. Myself at, I'm now 32. It was myself at like 22 was my, the person I wanted to speak to.
No
because
joy.
I was really lonely in college. And I felt so strange about that because it seemed like college students shouldn't be lonely. I actually know now that that's a time when a lot of people are very lonely.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
Anyway, that's a sidebar.
Well, I appreciate that. I've always been a big fan of book covers. The book cover is so simple, but it's powerful with that big word stop. Because I had the book with me today at the gym and like, purposely leaned it up against the machine while I was working. I could see people stopping in their steps to look down at that. The idea of the book cover, was that yours? I really like it. It's simple and powerful at the same time.
Yeah, it was. And the title. Mm-hmm. I had to fight for that title a little bit because my publisher thought it was a little in your face or a little aggressive.
Yeah.
It is, but I decided, like, I wanted to be arresting, you know.
Mm.
So that's what we went with.
Very good. Well, it's working. And honestly, I was just watching the people, and I was giggling a little bit, and just you know.
Sometimes I wonder if it might be embarrassing to read in public. I don't know. To me, I'm totally not embarrassed by this subject matter anymore. It's just, like part of who I am now, but. But hopefully that doesn't stop anybody from reading it.
Yeah, what a great thing. I'm being selfish now. It gave me a chance to tell a few people about my show. So, because there's just one lady, she just came over to me. She said, I don't mean to be nosy. When is that book you're reading? And I said, oh, yeah, it's a guest I'm having on my show tonight. And I showed
That's
it to
funny.
Her. And she looked at it. Oh, now, you know, wrote down the address for the show and everything, so
nice.
It was catching attention.
That's what I'm going for, you know.
Yes, you know, you're definitely doing. So now, you gave us something we can do like right away. If you feel lonely, something you can start doing right away. Is there something that we should just continuously do every day, like affirmations or anything like that, that we could? Journal or anything like that we can do?
Yeah, that's a great question. So the main thing that I would say, really the place to practice the skills of knowing and caring is when you're interacting with other people. You can do it with anybody.
Mm.
And one thing I would say you should do almost every time is ask questions.
Mm.
And actually questions with a certain type of intention behind them. Ask questions with the intention to understand the other person better. And I say that because, you know, we converse with people all day long, but a lot of our conversations stay very kind of surface level. And a lot of them are about, you know, what are you working on? What are you doing this weekend? Where are you traveling?
Yes.
Which are fine, but there's one layer deeper that you can go with these conversations that start to get at what is this person like about? What is motivating them to do what they're doing? What do they care about in their lives? And there are certain types of questions that can really, really get at that stuff, and it's pretty powerful.
Oh, great. Now, does your book covers some of that on how to
There's two full chapters on the process of asking questions and then listening to the answers, because listening is, of course, important as well.
How do we know if we've gone too far, too deep? Is there something, do we notice a person's facial expressions or anything like that? Because sometimes I try to get a little deeper with people and I go like, oh my
mm-hmm.
goodness, maybe I shouldn't have asked that or...
Yeah, there's definitely an art to it. The thing I would say to kind of like fall back on, if you don't know if you should or should not say something.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, are you genuinely curious about it? So you're not just asking questions just to probe and to, you know, like interrogate them.
Mm-hmm.
It's more just, I'm curious about, you know, like the example I always give is somebody is talking about leaving their job
mm-hmm.
or something like that. Something that you could ask is, you know, what would leaving your job get you? It would get me more freedom. It would allow me to spend time with my kids, whatever. But what they come back with, those are things that that really matter to them.
I see.
But it is kind of subtle to not, like, bang people over the head with with questions.
Yeah, I see what you mean. But that works, though. I like that. Because they're telling you right there in the answer what really mean, what's really important to them.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Very good. Now, how do... Oh, my goodness, I tell you, time flies. I know you're a certified relationship coach. You're really, really skilled in this type of work. How did you get started on this path? Did you just... fall in love with the idea of fixing relationships and helping people? I'm just curious.
Yeah, more or less, yeah. So I started about 3 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Before that, I worked at technology startups in a very different life. And I left originally to become a marriage therapist because I kind of thought that I thought that therapy was the only way to really help people with their relationships.
Mm-hmm.
But then as I learned more about coaching, I just kind of fell in love with coaching. I love how it's future oriented and, you know, it's much more about what would you like things to be like in the future as opposed to healing wounds from the past, which is more what therapy is usually about. So then I just loved coaching and decided to put the two together. Yeah.
Very, very good. You're not going to believe we have like 2 minutes left.
Wow, that was fast.
It flies. It's so scary sometimes how fast it goes. You know? But you're so easy to talk to, so that helps a lot too. I've had guests where it felt like I was pulling teeth. But you weren't one of them. This is a lot of fun. But I really appreciate you coming on and sharing this with us. The book is called Stop Being Lonely, 3 Simple Steps to Developing Close Friendships and Deep Relationships. My guest today is Kira Asatrian.
Perfect.
That. And Kira, give me your website one more time. I want people to hear that again.
The website is stopbeinglonely.com, one word.
Very easy. Okay. So we're at the end of our little party, guys. I look forward to being with you next week. You've been listening to It's All About You, the radio program that is celebrating life, prosperity, and unlimited potential. I'm your host. I'm Darian Marshall. And I look forward to being with you next week. Just stay positive, stay inspired, and so be it. I'll see you next week.